In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered in one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit and seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seeds in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kind, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit and seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give you every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Just want to invite Simon up, before he speaks to us. Let's just pray. God, thank you so much for Simon. Thank you for the preparation he's put in to bring us the message this morning. We just ask that you open our hearts so that we can hear your word and hear your voice through what we learned this morning. Amen.
Thanks, Casey. I'm going to move up here so I don't get lost in a sea of paper down there. Good morning again. It's great to see you all, and great to see visitors, and great to see people that are back with us after a time away. Dan and Sarah, great to see you. Looking forward to hearing about your travels at some point. I mentioned to someone yesterday that I was speaking on Genesis 1, and they just sort of looked at me like this. And they're not here today, so. But I'm really excited to speak in it. I love these words. I love this chapter. And all the stories in Genesis, I think they can tell us so much about life. And I think one of the problems with Genesis chapter 1 is that people have got lost in debates about what it is, how we should read it, and lost a little bit of what it's actually trying to tell us. So I certainly don't want to get into any kind of territory on what Genesis 1 is this morning. I'm not interested in that this morning. I want us to look at what we can take, what it's trying to tell us about ourselves, about our world. Genesis 1 is the ancient Israelites' creation narrative. And if you know anything about ancient cultures and civilizations, lots of them had creation narratives, how things came into being. Because stories are really important. We all know this. We all live within stories of who we are and why we're here. And we don't always recognize that, but it is true. And it's actually really evident when you see people that are either living in a really bad story or a really good story. When I worked with young people, you saw it so evidently. When a young person had been told that they were special and someone of great potential and worth, you could almost see it oozing out of them in a confidence and a desire to make a difference. And conversely, when you saw a young person that had been told they were worthless and there was no hope for them, which you do meet those young people, they were living very much within that story. And I don't know what story you live in. For Christians, there's a really powerful story that has the power to change our story dramatically. And I hope that you know that story for yourself. So stories matter. And they matter because they help us make sense of life's most significant questions. And in the book of Genesis, we find stories that try and answer some of these questions. Why are we here? What's wrong with the world? What's our role, our task, our purpose? What's a good life? Is there meaning and hope? What dangers should we guard against? What treasures should we seek? Stories enable us to find answers to those questions. So it's important that we're aware of our story and the bigger stories shaping our culture and our world. And the Bible really does invite us into God's story. It invites us to, it's an invitation to participate in God's work in the world and in life. So Genesis, it means beginnings. The word itself, it means beginnings, because it's about the origin of the world and the origin of people. And Genesis, the stories of Genesis are rich with truth and layers of meaning. Every time I come to these passages, I find new things, and I'm going to share a few of them this morning. This story would have started as an oral tradition passed down through generations before it was eventually written down. So I'm just going to look at a few different aspects of this story this morning. And the first thing I want to do, I want to start with the first four words. And I think these, actually I've missed one off, that's really embarrassing. The fourth word is the most important of the four. And it's not even there. The first four words tell us so much. In the beginning, God. Quickly add it in, Laura. In the beginning, God. Perhaps the most important four words in this whole chapter, because they set the scene for everything else. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but that tells me a few things about this story we find ourselves in. Firstly, it tells me that God is the creator of all things. There was a beginning, and God was the initiator of it. It also tells me that because God initiated everything, that everything matters. All matter matters. Everything is sacred. You know, the ancients, they didn't separate the world like many of us have done and do into sacred and secular. They didn't do that. Everything was sacred. Work was sacred. The environment was sacred. People were sacred. Everything was holy and everything mattered. Light and darkness, rest, play, animals, plants. In the beginning, God. It also reminds us that we are not the beginning. I really think human beings need reminding of that quite a lot. We are not the beginning. We weren't here first. Have you ever noticed that when people think they get somewhere first, it leads to bad things? We had a little gathering for a little party for Joshua with just a few close friends the other week, and there was a moment where children converged on a toy at the same time, and it wasn't pretty. There were tears. Because when we think we get there first, you know, we think we have an entitlement and a right to do what we want and that we've got ownership of it. In the beginning, God, we were not here first. We're guests in this world. And our job is to leave this world in a good state for future generations of guests, our children and our children's children. You know, King David knew this. A lot of the biblical writers knew this. You read it so much in the Psalms. King David said, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Even a king knew that. In the beginning, God. And how did God create the world? He spoke. And he said, "Let there be light." I'd never noticed these words before until I heard someone speak about it. And just the power and beauty of those words. It kind of tells us a little bit about the type of God that created the world. You know, in a lot of the creation narratives, the world came about through this battle. In one in particular, there's this crocodile, and he's split in two, and it creates the heavens and the earth in this epic battle. And so in a lot of creation narratives, the world comes about through violence and a bit of chaos. In this, we have these beautiful words, "Let there be." I want to invite you, what do those words evoke for you? "Let there be." Some people say that in these words, God is giving things permission to exist. Let there be. He's making space for things to exist. It's a very different image to a violent creator, God. And it moves on. And a couple of words it says a few times in this text. God saw. God saw what he had made. And it was good. Again, these are words I often skip over. But God saw. God noticed. God took time to appreciate what he had made. It also speaks to me that God didn't rush. We know we live in a very instant world. Our production lines go, 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 go. And make things very quickly. But there's a rhythm to this. And it's not all done in one day. God is not trying to get this creative project all done so he can move on to the next thing. He creates something. He notices. And he says, "It is good." And then there was evening and there was morning the next day. And it's almost out of that noticing that it was good. I imagine it's almost like God is spurred on to do more because he's noticed, "This is good. Let's build on this." It's like an artist sort of I'm not an artist. Ruth would be able to tell you more about this, or someone that is arty. But laying down the first layer, the foundation, and then building on that, and then on that, and then on that. This also tells me something else. It is good. He saw that it was good, that goodness is inherent to the universe. It's all good. Everything God creates is good. I don't know, even in your work, how much you stop to notice and appreciate these things that are so important. Not just in work, in all aspects of life. How much time do you take to stop, to notice what's around you, to appreciate those things? When I prepared this, I tried to do it in some things like an email. I tried to write an email, and before I send it, just stop and appreciate the work I'd done. Because if you write emails a lot, you know that they can be work, actually. There's more to it than just pinging it off. You're constructing something. You're sending a message. I think it's so important, even in the small and the big things, to notice, to appreciate the work we're doing, to make time for those things. Then it moves on and it talks about an abundance. And I've not got that one on there. I'm not great with PowerPoint. You'll know that about me. But I'm doing well today because I'm remembering to click on. But there's this picture of abundance, of rich diversity of animals and plants and fish. And God says about these things, let them teem, let the water teem with living creatures. And then it says, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. It's this amazing image of a God that wants everything, all things to thrive, all life to thrive. It's a really different image to the one that many of us live with, the story of consumerism that many of us live within, that everything's there for our benefit. All food's there for our benefit. Stuff is there for our benefit. This is a story in which God cares about all of creation. He wants everything to thrive. And within that, it goes on. And this is, again, this spoke to me in a new way. That when God created mankind, and if you've got the text open in front of you, it's actually really interesting. And I've not written down the verse, but the number of the verse, but I'll just read it to you again. When God creates mankind, this is what he says. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. We know that bit. So that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. We were created for a really specific purpose, so that. And this verse has been used as an excuse throughout history in really tragic ways to abuse the earth, to think that we have a right to do whatever we want to the earth, to destroy forests and to make species extinct through hunting, to make the gap between rich and poor quite disgusting, really. A gap that's almost beyond belief. But when you read these words, so that they may rule, ruling in this context is not dominating and using for our benefit. Because God's already said that he wants all things to thrive. So it can't mean that. We're made in the image of God. God who created this rich variety. God who wants this to thrive. And so in that context, we're made in the image of God. We too should want all things to thrive. We're made in the image of God to be stewards of the world, to be responsible, to care for our planet, to take care of it. And in verses 29 and 30, God talks about the food of the earth. And he talks about food for humankind, and he talks about food for the animals. A place where there is enough for everyone. And again, we're created to be stewards of that. And then it gets really interesting with a couple more words right at the end. And it says this, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Have you noticed that throughout the passage, God looks on things and he says, it was good. It was good. But at the end of his creative project, when everything's in place, when everything is working in harmony, when there's enough for everyone, where everyone is thriving, people, animals, plants, then it was very good. Very good. All the diversity and variety, abundance, and humans in place to take care, in God's place almost, of all of this. Now, I don't know, you might read that passage and see many things differently, and that's okay, because I think this story has so much to teach us and so much that I haven't said this morning. But what I do believe is that this story, a story like that, that we've talked about this morning, can be a transforming story. I really do. I think if that is our story, if we believe that is our beginning, that could change everything about our lives. You think about it, it could change the way that we live, the way we work, the way we eat, the way we consume in a world where we're taught to want more and more and more, the way we relate to one another, the way we worship and serve. I really think a story like that is a transforming story. And if we allow it to be our story, then we'll work for the good of all, for the good of our world, to be healers and reconcilers. And we'll change the way we think about ourselves. We have a sacredness about us and a sacred responsibility, and that's beautiful. So it all starts in the beginning. Let's pray. So Genesis 1 invites us into a story where all is sacred. Maybe just think about the aspects of your life, the different things you are involved in, work, things you do for recreation, your relationships. And ask God to show you the sacredness of those things. Genesis 1 reminds us of original goodness in the world that needs to be noticed and seen and appreciated, and in a world where there's so much that isn't good. We need to get back to the original story of original goodness. And Genesis 1, a story of abundance for all humanity, for all life, for our planet. And finally, that reminder of the privilege and responsibility that Genesis 1 tells us humanity has, made in the image of God, co-creators, as we continue the creative project, responsible stewards. So I just want to invite you to take a moment to think about your story over the last week or weeks or months. Has this been your story? Would you like it to be your story? Lord God, we thank you that no matter how we have been living or what story we've been living in, that there is hope of a new way of living found in these amazing ancient stories. Lord, for those of us that recognize that we haven't been living that way, we may want to say sorry this morning and ask for your grace and your help in living a better way through Jesus, who shows us how to live in this story as your children. Thank you for your grace and your loving kindness that leads us to repentance and to a new way, alive in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If that spoke to you in any way and you'd like to chat about it afterwards, I would love to do that. If you're thinking about your own story and you think this hasn't been my experience, but I would like it to be, then I would love to chat to you after the service. Do hunt me down. Over to Casey.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you so much for those words about creation, and it's so much for us to think about where we fit into that creation and who we are in that creation. So today we're just going to have some more sung worship, and as we do that, let's just sing out to the Creator this morning.